Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
Merry, wow, speaking of Christmas segue, 2 week Thanksgiving break, Jeff. I know you wanted to try to get a pod in, but too busy for me. I could not make it happen. I do apologize for that. This is the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. Jeff and Will back in action. Christmas, Thanksgiving, Hubilation, Hanukkah, you name it, we're here for you. Over here in wintry North Carolina. When I say wintry, I mean it's 55 degrees, although it has been getting to 30 in the morning. Ooh. I know, Jeffrey, that apparently it's just been the winter still of solace in California, hitting those 40s and those peacoats. Other than that, Jeff, how's it going?
Well, I'm excited to be here back in action, as you said, couple week break, but all that be darned, schedules be darned, family and holidays be darned. We will make it happen for you, the listeners, the people. Excited to be here on All the Fields Fantasy. Yeah, it's a bright, sunny 60 degree morning here in California, and lo and behold, people come into the office and they're, you know, we had a big Canada Goose controversy last time, so maybe just a Eddie Bauer, flannel or a thick kind of puffy jacket. So yeah, it's California winter. It rained yesterday. People are going insane on the freeways. Don't know what to do. But it's good. It's kind of getting it in the mood. You're getting. It's actually kind of like fall. You know, I'm wearing long sleeves outside, wearing jeans. So it's a good change of pace from the summertime
sadness.
You know,
it's funny about this Canada Goose talk, because as we mentioned, I'd never heard of it, right? I mean, just really just perfect timing, because of course, when people are over here for Thanksgiving, we're playing some board games and stuff, and one of these clues that you had to match up was the word Canada, and my sister-in-law's, you know, boyfriend says, blank goose. And I'm like, of course. Like, and now I know what it is. Canada
Goose.
Look
at that. Like, look at that.
Bring it, like, if we hadn't potted 4 days prior, I would not have been able to guess that. And I mean, just, you know, like, just bringing it all around. A family-friendly, knowledgeable podcast that we have here, Jeff. And all thanks to you and your Canada Goose. And, of course, some of our listeners sending us Snapchats of such apparel and backpacks, I believe, that the Canada Goose one was. I think it was a backpack.
Yeah, well, Greg's all about the backpacks. So
overpriced, overpriced backpacks. Jeff, give me your Thanksgiving review. That's the top of your list right here. And then, of course, we got some lovely movies that are commencing already. But what did you and the family do for the Thanksgiving holiday?
We were up at brother-in-law Kyle Murphy's place, Bend It Like Beckham in the Raff Pool League, if you will. It was a little bit of a downer because it was raining. They have a nice little patio. I won't say a gazebo like you have, William, but a nice little overhang. So when, you know, most times of the year in California, you can eat outside on the patio. But alas, Thanksgiving, too rainy. So four dogs in the house, about 25 people, and Kellen just going ape, just running around everywhere, having a great old time watching the Cowboys lose. So that was, you know, a nice little Thanksgiving on top, little treat. But overall, you know, it was nice to be with the family. Kellen had a good time, ate a bunch of turkey. So can't complain. Looks like you got into a bunch of festivities. Like you mentioned, you had family in town, so let the entertaining commence.
That's what it was. It was entertaining. So there was only about 7 or 8 people here, but I think we cooked for, you know, like 45. We still have leftovers, still have a little bit of ham, a decent amount of turkey, a little bit of mashed potatoes, and some sweet potato casserole still in the fridge, in those great aluminum tins. You know, can't go wrong with some aluminum tins that you can just toss out when you're done with them.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But yeah, good times. We did a lot. We hosted. I did the ham and the turkey and the something else. I don't know, green bean casserole. And then we had corn muffins. We had mashed potatoes. We had homemade mac and cheese. I'm going to start making some homemade mac and cheese at this point, because, like, that was just unbelievable. Melting down some Gouda, some smoked Gouda.
Ooh, the goose.
I mean, can't get better than that. And the family time, my Ashley's mom and her grandpa, Gramps, was here for They were here for 6 days. I mean, ooh, talk about some roommates. So by the time they left, it was just kind of like the house got so quiet and empty. But it was a nice, great time I had taking them around North Carolina and Charlotte. And, you know, gonna miss those times, except we're going up there for Christmas. So in 3 weeks, we'll be driving up to Connecticut with the Gooch.
Oh, wow. What's the mileage and time that you guys are estimated to
take? It's about a 12 to 14 hour drive. I mean,
it's a one day banger. You just get up there and knock it out.
And Gucci's so good in the car that we'll have to break once just to feed him and let him go to the bathroom. But he will sleep or just sit in the back seat and just look out the window and never even move. So that's for Christmas. That is that little travel day. And then of course in January you got the big old trip to Vegas, little boys weekend. So far,
little beacon.
But you never know. Never know what special guests might come for that one.
I will say the probabilities have increased significantly. I mean, we had a conversation earlier in the week about the legitimacy of ticket purchasing sites for the SKSK show that we're looking to partake in. Eventbrite. I mean, I've created events on Eventbrite, so I was a little confused, but that. To all listeners out there looking to go to the show in Vegas, that is where you purchase your tickets. Confirmed by Billy M. $20 plus about $4.95 and a little bit of servicing fee there, but get you straight for the show.
That's right. And usually there's like Facebook free events that are on Eventbrite, but also the room has been booked via Muffin and his million points that he earns. I mean, quite a bargain. Shall I say?
How much room is in there? I mean, do we need to get another room?
Well, the thing is it is
digressions here on the pod.
It is at the Luxor, so already marked.
Oh no! I thought never again the Luxor with a stupid elevator that goes diagonally.
Just letting you know.
Although that is where Scotty got lost in the stairwells. So good times haven't had the Luxor.
I'm familiar with that story. I'm about to dive deep in the Vegas pod on that one. So yeah, we do lose half a room already because it is Luxor, but I know it is two beds. I mean, I don't know. See what we got going with that. I can't wait. It's in a month.
Luxor.
What a deal I got on the flight. Can't believe it. Still haven't bought my flight back, though. That's worrisome. Never know. Never know. Might not go back. Jeff, I've watched The Grinch in terms of Christmas movies. And then, of course, there's been some like Christmas specials on, but haven't really dove in deep into it yet because we had family here. We were too busy doing stuff, but it's going to get ramping up here. But you've already watched, what many have said to be at least my top Christmas movie, and you're one of your top Christmas movies. Dare the survey results provide otherwise. Jingle All the Way has already been watched. Was there any drinking involved? Was it a family event? Was it just a solo adventure?
This was a sober solo adventure. There will be other opportunities, I feel like, for a second, maybe even a third watching with partaking in a claw or two. It's great. I find new things mm-hmm. that are both cheesy and hilarious at the same time. They're the little nuances that you don't catch or that you forget about, but it's just great. I mean, I've watched some of these like Netflix released holiday shows. Like, we watched this one with the guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin. I don't know his actual name, but he's the African-American gentleman who needs the stereo to be the discount on the house. So he got his own Netflix Christmas show, and I can only imagine him as that character from 40-Year-Old Virgin. So it's really hard to, when he has these like serious dramatic monologues, it's like, I mean, I'm just going to need you to be my boy and give it to me on the house. That's what I imagine. But, so when you compare and contrast that to Jingle on the Way, it just doesn't compare. I mean, it's a top tier Christmas classic.
It is. So, I always tell people about it, and you have to watch it and just kind of realize, how good it is in spurts and just – hey, I remember watching it with Shay, and she said this is way better than she thought it was going to be. So that is my big takeaway from that movie. And just, again, it stands the test of time.
Oh, it does.
In fact, it's even more relevant today than it ever has been.
I mean, it could be. I mean, there are definitely themes and motifs that have become more relevant to this day.
That's right. And you know what's funny? Because it's about shopping. segue once again. I mean, jeez, it's like we're just doing this on, it's like we write a show. So I've been thinking about this for a couple years now. Kind of just, you know, and I'm sure you've dove into this, and we might have talked about this on years past. Just the types of gifts and everything you're kind of buying for either other people or yourselves as you get older. You know, you're obviously, you're a kid, you want toys, you're in your teens, you probably want video games or, you know, a Razor scooter, you know, something like that, and you're in your 20s.
Turboman doll.
Turboman, I mean, of course, get the Turboman doll. When you're 20s, I don't know what you want when you're 20s. You want just cash, right? You want just cash.
Yeah.
Possibly more nice clothes. I don't really know. But now, you know, now I'm, you know, 30, 31. I'm 31. I already forgot how old I was. And we're going Black Friday shopping. You know what? When I say Black Friday, I mean Sunday. I don't actually mean the Black Friday. At the mall. By the way, malls are back. Just to let you know. In 5 years, malls are going to be back. I've thoroughly said this, and I believe it to be true, because the customer interaction is essential in, especially what happened with us. You got better deals because you're talking to an actual human. You get to try on certain clothes or fitting things without, you know, doing the risk online. Yeah, you might save 10% more online, but, you know, what happened to talking to people? You know what I mean? Back in my day, we talked to people, but diatribe.
I actually wrote a 23-page paper in my grad school about how the transformation of malls and what they need to do to be successful in the future. And it's a lot of things you just talked about, Will. So happy to share that if we want to go deep dive on the mall pod.
I definitely need to send me a copy of that. So just a couple things that we bought. Just again, bought Ashley a Dyson vacuum.
Oh, those are we have one. It's legit.
Oh, and not only did I buy her the Dyson vacuum, I bought her the pink one. Or I'm sorry, it's fuchsia. Fuchsia color. And this fuchsia colored one was $110 more than a regular one. So she knows that, and she's very grateful. I think thankfully her mom kind of was like, oh, okay, I'll give you like $50 because of that ridiculousness in the color scheme. And I'm like, oh, that's really nice. Shout that out there. And of course, Daddy goes to Best Buy to buy this Dyson. Daddy has a Best Buy credit card that had zero balance previous to this trip. So what did Daddy do? Bought himself a nice 65-incher. HDR, just all the fixins, because you know what? It was on sale, dude. What are you going to do? So funny part, just bring it. I said we had to make a last-second pickup, and Ashley's like, oh, what'd you get? I'm like, oh, I got you a surprise. So I opened the back of the car, and I'm like, okay, you got to lower the seats. She's like, what? And I'm like, here's your vacuum. She's like, oh, yay, why are the seats lowered? And so they that's one thing. And also, Men's Warehouse went there and bought a couple suits.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
look at you.
Yeah, because you know what? You're growing up.
A little two-for-one special.
Oh, yeah. Oh, an absolute banger of a two-for-one special. And, you know, I'm sick of renting suits and all that. And, you know, just have a couple in the docket, you know? And, wow. I'm going to tell you right now. The savings were insurmountable. I mean, we're talking $600 suit for $250. And then a $300 suit for $99, except that $99 suit just ended up being free anyway because it was a buy one, get one free. And then it was, oh, you want three ties? Okay, fine. Buy one, get two free. I'm going to throw in a pocket square just because you're cool. Oh, this collared shirt is usually $99. You can have it for $33 because usually we do buy three for $100. I'm like, Jesus. Okay, load it up, baby. Yeah, so nice little Men's Warehouse. And again, trying on all these suits, gotta find the right one. Online, you're just like, oh, and it's blue. Maybe it doesn't look blue in real life. You don't know, right? You just never know. So the customer interaction. Malls are back. Malls are back. I got to read this 23-page essay on this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to love the way you look, Will. So I'm glad that gentleman was able to help you out.
Can I find it on Barnes & Noble?
The B-Nobe.
This 23-page...
Might have an ebook and throw it up there. Maybe in the show notes we'll link to it or something.
Gotta like the way you look. One last thing before we dive into the stuff this podcast is actually about. I started watching The Irishman. This has kind of taken over social media, and it dropped, I think, Thanksgiving Eve, knowing that it would take all of your week off to watch this movie. It's 3 hours and 30 minutes. I am about 55 minutes in because what I've done is I've saw some kind of documents or pictures online saying, like, watch it as if it were a miniseries. So I watched the first 49 minutes because they call it episode one, even though it's really not. So I'm kind of tackling it that way. Thoughts on this is, do you know what this is about? It's just, you know, kind of a throwback.
Yeah, I saw the guy with the F name, and then, yeah, it's Robert De Niro, and I've just been intimidated by the length.
Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, who apparently has been retired for like 10 years. He looks like he's 180 years old. Far a cry from his Home Alone days, I'll tell you that. And they use this like anti-aging thing, and whew. I mean, so far the movie's okay, but man, this makes these dudes look so like so they de-age their face, right? So it makes them less wrinkles. All that. But I don't think they realize that they're still their body. So you got this Robert De Niro who's supposedly looking, you know, like 40, but he's still like walking with a hunch because he's, you know, 80 or however old he is. I don't know. So it just looks very strange. I just wish, you know, they either stop doing this or, you know, can we find a new actor for once in a while? I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, seriously.
God. But 3 hours and 30 minutes. I'll let you know in 3 weeks when I'm done watching it.
Yeah.
It's girthy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's long. I mean, I watched the preview and I was like, man, that looks interesting. And I was like, runtime, 3 hours and 30 minutes. I was like, well. This is not a before bed. This is, you got to start it early in the day and work your way through it. To your center. And maybe, like you said, treat it like a little docuseries, and maybe I'll hit the Reddits and figure out the strategies to get into some Irishmen here.
Yeah, that'll be the best way to tackle this. Speaking of tackling.
Look at that.
All right, Jeff, we actually have some NFL news. I didn't even realize the second one. I got a funny bit about the second one. But you have been talking about Ron Rivera forever. I don't know why. He's just been on your mind. You've been loving the quotes coming out from David Tepper. But, you know, this is the third podcast in a row we're talking about it. And it's like the tea leaves were there, right? You were reading the tea leaves. That's what you were doing, Jeff. That's why they pay you the big bucks. He's gone. Ron Rivera is out. And kind of randomly, I mean, they lost to one of the worst teams in the league, which was kind of shocking and befuddling, I think is a good word there. But now they have, you know, their interim head coach and all that. Do they make a shocking thing? Like, do they go after someone like Josh McDaniels or these hot college coaches? Or this guy seems to be very, very involved, this David Tepper. And does he want that offensive guy? Does he want the young buck? Someone who, you know, had a smoothie at Juice It Up with Sean McVay. What do you think the Panthers do? And is Cam Newton still there as well, because that's kind of like a big talking point as well?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting, you know, back to the Tepper comms. He said he wants a mix of old school, like, discipline with new school processes and methods. And I was like, okay, so you want an enigma that doesn't exist. So, cool. You're not going to get Bill Belichick. So who are you going to find? I mean, yeah, it was kind of interesting. Like, as soon as Cam got injured, there was a lot, like, it was almost decided he wouldn't be with the team next year. And then it was like, now it kind of, who are they going to bring in? And then they'll probably have, you know, does their system fit Cam? Can they build around Cam? Or do they want to, you know, get a rookie and then see if there's some competition? Do they want to give it a year? Do they just let him go? I don't have any insight. I don't have any sources that I can triple source. But it'll be interesting because I think there are some talented pieces on the team still. So it's not like a Cliff Kingsbury coming into the Cardinals where there's not a whole lot to work with. There are some solid pieces, Christian McCaffrey being a big piece of the offense, and they have those two talented young receivers. So it's a team that could be looking up quick. And I guess I just learned this. There's some stadiums moving, and now they're going to be in South Carolina. I mean, this is all confusing to me.
No, it's their practice facility is going to be in South Carolina right now. Before it was kind of attached to one of the colleges down here. So it's going to be like 40 minutes away in Rock Hill. The thing about Cam Newton now is this is just how no one knows anything about football, right? 5 weeks ago it was, oh, they have their QB of the future. It's Kyle Allen. He's been amazing. They're 5-3. Yeah. And now they've lost like 4 in a row. And it's like, ooh, I think they're going to keep Cam. Because Kyle.
Yeah.
You know, so like you just mentioned, do they bring someone in? Does Cam gets shipped off. Who knows? That's kind of like the struggles of what in United States, whenever new management comes into these any sport, really, NFL, NBA, whatever, they want their guy. You know, I didn't draft Cam Newton. He's not mine. And they got to go get their own dude. This is what happened with the Cardinals just last year. So and that's going to be one of the big storylines. And that's what makes the NFL offseason so fun is just when these random quarterbacks just go to different teams. Look at this Nick Foles thing. What a disaster that was.
Oh, my gosh. We could have told you that.
Every single year it happens. And it's so funny. There's another – I mean, all these stats we were sending each other. One I didn't send you was the Nick Foles stat. It was like whenever he's worn an Eagles uniform, his career – his record's like 28-10 or something like that. And every other uniform he's ever worn, he's like 6-20 or something.
Wow.
It's really bad. But yeah, there. That's the Ron Rivera stuff. Now, this one I had no idea was happening until yesterday I got a text. So I only made the playoffs in two leagues, so whatever. At least I'm in the playoffs. I can try. But one of the leagues is, you know, there's obviously consolation stuff going on, and they can keep making moves if they, for some reason, you know, right? Which, yeah. I mean, don't get me started on that one. This guy is a Giants fan, and he loves him some Eli Manning. So apparently he found out Eli Manning is going to be playing on Monday Night Football because Daniel Jones is hurt. This guy's not in the playoffs. So what does he do? He picks up Eli Manning. Fine. None of us are going to pick up Eli Manning. That's fine. But he has to drop someone to do it. He drops Kyler Murray so that he can pick up Eli Manning. I looked it up, by the way. Kyler Murray is the eighth highest scoring person in fantasy right now. I know quarterbacks score more, but he is the number eight, at least in our half PPR league. So now Kyler Murray is on
the Where does that put him amongst quarterbacks? It has to put him like...
I mean, top. I would say top four, right?
Six or seven.
Yeah. I don't know. I check to see out of quarterbacks. But regardless, he is now up for waivers in that league. And I think one of the players starting quarterbacks right now is Jared Goff in the playoffs. Wow. So someone may have just gotten an upgrade on their quarterback. So there we go. Congratulations on you because some guy decided to pick up Eli Manning. I mean, how do you feel about that? The consolation teams being able to kind of make moves in the playoffs for fantasy football?
Well, I mean, in theory, I don't have a problem with it. But, I mean, if he's going to make a bonehead move like that, then that can honestly, like, tilt the tides of the real playoffs where there's money on the line. And so you would hope that you play in a league where people don't do that. Like this is kind of a broader thing I saw on Twitter. Like a lot of people talking about like blocking strategies, like obviously like picking up Madison and things like that. But to your point, it's like, well, who do you have to drop to do that? Right? Like if you're dropping startable assets, then I don't get it. Like, it doesn't make sense. So, like, if you're obviously having, like, bench guys or wide receiver fours, there's no use for them. And, yeah, you should block. But, yeah, still want the consolation bracket teams to pay attention, still be able to make moves if they have injuries. But they also shouldn't be, like, flooding the wire with quality talent. And this is, this, in my opinion, the Kyler thing could be a league-wide vote kind of decision. Like, do people want him to be picked up or I don't know. I just don't feel like Eli Manning. I just pulled up the quarterback rankings. Let me just go back to it very quickly. Eli Manning. Let me see if he falls in the top 25. No. So you dropped the top. He's currently number six, for not even a top 30 quarterback. It seems like I don't think there's collusion, but I don't know. I'm really
well,
torn.
No, it's a clearly, guy. You it's hear a guy the who's tornness. Out of the playoffs, so he's just like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, if he was mess in around. The playoffs, would he have done it? I don't know. But yeah, he is actually the six. Yeah, you're right. He's number six. Josh Allen's in front of him. Prescott, Watson, Wilson, Jackson, and then McCaffrey and Cook are the two non-quarterbacks who are above him. Derrick Henry, by the way, right behind him. 9th rated player in fantasy. How about that?
If anything, you need to. Like, this is why, and I think we should do this in the ship and Raft Pool next year, is punishments, like, monetary punishments for being in last place. Like, mm-hmm. if you get last, like, a half buy-in or whatever, whatever that goes to the top score or something like that.
I do that.
So that this situation doesn't present itself, because that guy would have no incentive to tank in the consolation bracket because he could still have to pay, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Nope, that's right. That is a good one. Or even just like monetary for highest scoring team. You know, even if you make the playoffs, you still get, you know, $50 or whatever. You know, little things we should all kind of talk about during the season. Hey, maybe you get $10 if you happen to be the highest points against. You know, just here's $10. Sorry you had such a crappy year because everyone had their best games against you. I kind of like that, actually.
Yeah.
Eli Manning, he's back. So
a lot of hot Eli.
Yeah, great. The Survivor Pick email winner. I guess we didn't. Yeah, so someone, I forgot, but we haven't had a podcast since then, right? I don't think so.
Since we figured out who it was, yeah. So I think we laid out the details, yeah. And then now we've picked.
Nathan Mormon emailed me, so congratulations to Nathan. Gift card coming tonight, whatever it is. B-dubs, yes. B-dubs has new boneless wings, do they?
That I saw a commercial the other day. They looked exactly the same on TV, so I don't know what they're new.
They say they're new, or are they just saying we have some?
I thought they were saying they're new.
Oh, okay.
Not like them boneless wings as a concept being new, but like they have a new recipe or new proportions or
look at these grand new things that just came out. Okay, B-dubs, new boneless wings. I mean, he clamored for it. That may have to be the play. Speaking of playing, Jeff. Oh, by the way, Greg also is expecting his gift card too. I forgot about that. I got his physical address, so we'll thank you, Greg. Sorry for you, whatever it was you won. It's been too long. I already forgot. Daily Fantasy, Jeff. Man, it was a rough couple weeks since we, I won a dollar, but I, you know, obviously that's not counting what I put in to win that dollar. And you texted me at one point too. It was like, wow, I see why Arizona was, ranked last in money wise, right?
Yep.
They were definitely, I mean, were they, I think Miami might have been last, but that's.
Yeah, they were 1900, yeah. So
the pick any defense has kind of backfired. As a, you know, like I've changed a couple strategies that I've mentioned, and one of them was just, who cares about defense anymore? They give you 2 to 6 points. Maybe you're lucky you get a 10. Or maybe you get a -1, which is kind of what happened, or negatives with Arizona or Miami, whatever kind of defenses you're picking. And then the pick Mahomes and Lamar thing, it kind of backfired as well, just because they've been good. They've been, if not great, but they're getting their 20 points and then just kind of coasting now that their teams are just kind of dominating the bad teams. Mahomes, this past week, I had no idea. They scored 41 points. He only had one touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell is that? I think, well, maybe he might have had a rushing touchdown too. I'm not sure. But, you know, so he only got 17 or 18 points. Lamar, I think, had – did Lamar break 20? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I remember him having
he had 19. Like 24.
But then he didn't even play, like – like, I think Greg was, like, freaking out because Robert Griffin came in for, like, two drives or something like that. These players are just being so good that it's kind of tough. And you're missing out on, you know, Ryan Tannehill. So it's tough. Am I going to abandon my strategy? I don't know. So I'm not sure how you're feeling about the about these guys we've been picking.
The one tweak I think I want to make to the strategy, especially if I'm going to play Lamar, is that I'm going to play, quote, naked Lamar. Like, I'm just going to play Lamar. I'm not going to try and stack him because I've always been stacking him with Marquise Brown. And I mean, I think that worked out a couple times, but you know, the past couple times it hasn't worked out. So, you know, that could be an area where I could find some more salary to use elsewhere and just, you know, maybe find another dud and then get, you know, another stud up there. And just play naked Lamar and hope that, you know, he can get a couple touchdowns before RG3 comes in. But I will say on the pod for everyone to hear, I will never play Le'Veon Bell in daily fantasy football again. He had 10 carries against the Bengals. Okay. What is going on in the world? You would at least think he would get like 10 catches since they were getting slaughtered. No, I think he ended with 7 points. Like, thanks.
That's a tough, you're not Mazzaretti, because you know Mazzaretti gets about 40 points every time he plays you with Le'Veon Bell.
Oh yeah,
he's getting cheap. I mean, what's happened the last couple of weeks I've noticed is, and we just kind of barely touched on it with Lamar and Mahomes, is the stars aren't really, except for McCaffrey, somehow he gets 35 points. The dude gets 60 total, like you look at his stats and I'm like, 60 total yards, 30 points. because it's 12 catches for 20 yards. It's unreal how he just gets these points. But DeAndre Hopkins is kind of getting outshined by Will Fuller lately. These players that I've been kind of just spending high pre. I mean, Mark Ingram has been a good one recently, but Julio, don't even get me started on Julio. These players, they're kind of playing the little second fiddle to the wide receiver two on the team. Godwin and Mike Evans is always kind of a crapshoot. If you start both of them, that's kind of like the way to go with that team. I mean, it's getting tougher, which is weird because you think later on in the season we would have more info, but it seems as in the beginning of the season we were kind of rocking and rolling.
Regardless, Will, I'm excited to keep it rocking and rolling since, as I mentioned earlier, no playoffs for Jeffrey, but we got bankroll in the DFS, so we'll continue to hopefully not cash out.
That's right. So let's move on to the Ship League. No playoffs for us, either of us. No playoffs for the Trolls. A very kind of just tried and true group of people in these playoffs. But first, before we get to the playoffs, I forgot I wanted to touch on this really quick. I've been talking to Greg, been talking to Scott, talking to yourself about just how I felt awful these first two rounds were in fantasy this season. I mean, every year it's always, oh, the NFL is, what a weird season we're having. And I'm not calling this a weird season. I'm calling this a fantasy season from hell if you tried picking in the first two rounds correctly. Because by my account, I put down a lot of busts, and I want to see if you agree or disagree with a lot of these. And I kind of did a mix of both. You posted the first two rounds in our 12-team league, and then I also have the ADP up just on my phone, which kind of match up. But the only reason I have that up is because there's keepers, so it kind of a little bit gets different with our league. So when you look at the bust that I wrote, tell me when to stop if you disagree with me, okay?
Well, I mean, okay.
I'm just going to read them off. Okay, yeah. Le'Veon Bell. David Johnson. I mean, that David Johnson abso-bust.
Oh, my God.
See you later. Bye. How do you feel about this one? Julio Jones.
See, I don't know. You've owned him. He's been frustrating to own. Has he given you a lot of bad games?
Yeah,
I feel like he just hasn't had a lot of like big ceiling games. He's just kind of put up a couple 12 to 18 pointers.
Well, he hasn't scored a touchdown since week 3, and that was like his big game was week 3. Yeah. I'll read you his points right here. 12, 26, 23. Boom. First 3 weeks, you're like, hell yeah, I'm ready to rock. It's Julio Jones. 7, 5.7, 15, all right, 12. He had a 23, and then 9, 10, 9. I mean, you know, and then he got hurt and didn't even play last week. I mean, listen, that's fine. And especially those, he had 3 that are 20. I just think, without those 3 20-point games, you could have drafted somebody else and just been okay with it. Although, if I keep going through this list, probably would not have been okay with getting somebody else. So, I can agree, maybe not a bust, but disappointing, I would say, maybe.
It's kind of crazy how similar his stat line, thinking about it, compared to like Keenan Allen, who the first 3 games, yeah, I was explosion. Like, oh, I've struck gold. This guy's scoring 30 to 40 a week, and then I think his stat line was very similar to Julio. It was like 7 to 12 points every week without a touchdown. When he would get the touchdown, then his, you know, obviously he would explode because he was a target machine. But I wouldn't call Julio a bust, right? Like, he was a solid, at the end of the day, he's a high-end wide receiver 2, low-end wide receiver 1. So hard to argue there. Like, he wasn't.
Yeah. Your boy, Joe Mixon.
What do you think he's ranked in overall running back right now?
Out of running backs?
Yeah.
If I had to guess, I would say 22.
He's 18.
I mean, come on. I was pretty close right there.
Yeah. I mean, it is a bust. It more so because all that production, I feel like, has come the past 5 games.
Exactly.
And so it's good that, I guess, impeached Trump has him and he's in the playoffs and now he's riding the good points. I mean, the first 8 weeks of the season, you were just banging your head into a sheet of glass and just saying, I'm done because Joe Mixon, what are you doing? But maybe it was more the offensive line and maybe they're getting things together. But who knows? That's for next season's pod. I'm in bust.
Saquon Barkley.
I feel like the injury really set him back. I think you saw in the beginning of the year, he was still the same player, but he never really has been the same, I guess. I guess it's hard to say he's not a bust. He's only one spot above Joe Mixon right now. He's 17th. He only has 0.2 more points than Joe Mixon.
I mean, he did miss three games. I understand that for injury, but I mean, there's games where he wasn't supposedly injured and got 5 and 7. I mean, those are the last 2 weeks too. 5, 7, and then 13. So he's probably not super. Like you said, is he hurt or is he injured? You know, that's kind of the thing. I think he's a little hurt, but I wouldn't call him like totally. And plus, they would shut him down. I mean, why would you play him if he doesn't feel confident in his ability right now? I mean, they're literally playing for nothing right now.
Yeah.
Get him hurt for next year would be ultimate disaster for that team. Odell Beckham. I mean, that's a bust. Come on. Don't even.
Yeah.
Okay. Devontae Freeman, I have him in here because he was a second-round pick in our league, and he is actually 24th ADP. So I was all in on him this year, man. I was the Falcons, man. Just I think their team in general was just kind of busty. Although Matt Ryan did okay for you, as much as you probably regret to say it. Devontae Freeman, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, no disagreement there.
I mean, Damian Williams, I mean, God, get me the hell out of that piece of crap. What a nightmare that was. I was talking to Scott, and he's like, well, you drafted him with LeSean McCoy. I was like, no. I was like, oh, you think you're so funny? You think you're so funny? No, of course we drafted, what, like week 3 of the preseason or week 4 of the preseason? So
yep.
That LeSean McCoy and Carlos Hyde both went to those teams like the day after we drafted. So would you call him a bust? Would you say he was kind of looked at as a high round pick?
He was definitely not controversial, but there are definitely a lot of people hyping him as a top. You know, some people had him in the first round because of the offense and the role that he thought that he would have. But I mean, it's hard to tell because usually a bust is like the offense overall or his play. I feel it's just been like finally the too many mouths to feed kind of trope actually evidenced, right? Like they brought another talent, they rotated him around, like he got injured, other people got injured. It was just kind of a mess, really. So I would say he's a bust. I mean, you haven't started him every week like a reliable starter, right? And kind of the running back one that you'd hope for.
Let's go down Steeler Alley here. Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and James Conner. I mean, Antonio
Brown. Antonio. I actually would say no.
Wow.
Because you knew. Okay. At the time, you knew there was extreme inherent risk. He was extremely volatile. Maybe it didn't. It manifested in a different way than you thought.
You got one great game out of him.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that is the definition of a bust, but the risk was definitely there. Like you knew that he could either be a top 10 wide receiver or be out of the league, and he went with the be out of the league. So,
but I also, before we get to the next one, I also want to say to kind of go with the bust talk, I like what you're saying too, because my theory is if you know he's not playing, at least you don't have to play him. That makes sense. So like someone like David Johnson, who's consistently healthy, but for some reason you are like you're playing him for a while because you think he's going to get good, he's going to get right, and he never does. I hate that more than losing someone for the entire year. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like at least you know what's going on with them. All right, so Juju and James Conner.
Juju, I mean, losing Big Ben didn't help. I guess, he's kind of been like Odell, like he'll pop up or he popped a couple games and then he's kind of just like faded, and he's been injured though, right? So, yeah, I guess, I mean, he's probably a bust for where he was drafted. James
Conner. Yeah, he was a first rounder. He was a first rounder. James Conner was a first rounder.
I was on the hate train against James Conner. Yeah, so,
a lot of people were, and I guess for rightful reasons. I mean, again, that Big Ben injury didn't really hold up. But, I mean, look at them now. I mean, James Washington's getting stuff done with a duck at quarterback. So maybe when Juju gets healthy for these last couple games and that playoff push, he will be able to contribute a little bit more. I don't know why I wrote Alvin Kamara there. He got hurt. I think it was just more of just points-wise he's been frustrating. But he is starting to look a little better now. But also doesn't help that Murray. Why can't I think of his first name? Latavius. Latavius Murray has actually been pretty good in his spot. So if you handcuffed him, you were good. But I want to know about this last one that I wrote with a question mark. Todd Gurley.
Well, he didn't necessarily lead my team to victory. He's number 16 overall in points, but it's obviously a huge drop off. You know, he's like 60 points behind the number 10 running back. For where he was drafted, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say he wasn't. The biggest surprise, I think, to me this season is their just lack of, I don't know what it is, if it's him, if it's trust, if it's the play calling. Like, he used to get like 5 dump offs a game. He used to be the check down guy, and I don't know if that's because Cooper Kupp is back, but I feel like there was at least 2 screens a game, 3 to 4 dump offs. Like, he was that catch in the half PPR was a good floor for him, and he rarely gets 1 to 2 catches a week now. So yes, I would say he's definitely not a top 5 pick. But at the same time, and I want to hear your take on this, has he been? I think there's been games where he's looked shaky and other games where he's looked like the Todd Gurley of old. How have you seen all the preseason concerns about the knee been manifest in his play, I guess?
I think the only weird thing is the lack of being able to see if he's that guy or not. Like you said, some games he'll get his 15 carries and a couple dump offs and you're like, okay, you know, he's good, he's looking better. And then there's games where I don't know if it's game script or if they think the backup is going to do better and they give him 5 touches in the first half or something and the game gets away. So the coaching hasn't really been consistent with Todd Gurley. So it doesn't give anybody an actual chance, whether it's, you know, amateurs like me or professionals like you watching. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, the Westlings of the world. Because there's, if you listen to other podcasts, you hear them kind of saying, oh, he's back. And then the next week they say, oh, I'm confused.
Yeah, I think it's just the offensive line is garbage and Goff hasn't been in rhythm and the offense hasn't been working. So it's just been a huge drop off, which it's to your point, it's hard to say what is causing what. But he's definitely a bust from a fantasy perspective. I mean, I think he's had 1 game over 20 points and most of the other games have been 7 to 10 points. So.
All right, so read me this next one. This is your category here. Who do you think is at least, I don't know if it's a lot of them, who do you think are safe first-round picks next year?
I only had, I guess I had a bunch, but I think Christian McCaffrey is safe. I think we had a pod like week 3, like who are you worried about? And, Christian McCaffrey, I said from a durability perspective, I didn't think he could continue to get all these touches, but I mean – As you said earlier, his catches have been just insane. His target share, his volume from that perspective has been crazy. So I think it's sustainable. I think he can do it again next year. Is he the consensus number 1 overall pick? That will be interesting. I think he will be. Second one, I think is Saquon. I think with the offseason to get right, he may not be, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he's bantered around as a top 5 pick. But I think he'll be safe. Another step forward, or maybe at least the same for Daniel Jones. The only way to go is up for the entire offense. So hopefully that's better. Zeke, I think the offensive line isn't going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. I think he's starting to, with a full off season, he'll start a bit stronger than he did and continue it moving forward. And then Dalvin Cook, I think he's had a little bit of injury history in the past, but I think he shook off, you know, until last game, a lot of those concerns, and has just been an absolute beast. And, you know, the offensive line looks better. Kirk Cousins, for just all the, you know, some haters, some lovers, he's been good and Dalvin has benefited. And we had some talk about Julio. I thought all the first round wide receivers were pretty safe, being Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, and Tyreek Hill, and you added a Michael Thomas. I think all those are pretty safe next year. I mean, Tyreek Hill has been another weird one. Like, obviously, he had the injury, but he's been – and maybe this was the player we all knew he was, but very boom or busty. Like, He either gets you like 4 points or he gets you 30 points. So
mostly 30 points, though, even if it's Matt Moore quarterback for the Chiefs. Yeah, so I wrote Michael Thomas because technically he was a second round pick, but I think he's for sure a first round pick next year, especially if some people drop out or come back in. Potential bus. I like the couple you listed. I threw in that one in the middle. I don't know how you feel about that. So how do you feel about these potential busts? Go ahead and read them off for us.
Josh Jacobs was my first one. I don't think he's going to be bad. I think he was appropriately drafted in the third round this year. And I think that's where he should go next year. I just think he's going to be pushed up and be a borderline first round guy. And that's just way too high for me. So I think there's bust potential there. I don't necessarily think he's a Damian Williams or a James Conner. Like, he's maybe like Devontae Freeman. Like, I think he's going to have some hype and maybe drafted too soon. Aaron Jones, it's just been a weird season. Like, he had that three or four week run where he had like 40 points, and then he's been in like timeshare central. And maybe it wasn't Mike McCarthy who did it. Maybe it's just him as a player, and maybe Jamal Williams is better than everyone thinks. But I think he's going to – I mean, he was an end of the second-round guy this year. I mean, he could push for first-round potential with all those with those big games. You know, it's going to be terrible. Do you think Derrick Henry is going to be a first-round pick next year?
Oh, man, I don't know. All these stats are floating around that his last 16 games, he's leading the league in rushing and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know. If they keep Tannehill, I mean, I think Danny Hill has really, like, helped them a lot. So, first rounder. I bet he creeps in. I bet he creeps in the first round.
Yeah. And obviously, I'm contractually obligated not to draft him, but it wouldn't be surprising. I mean, he's been a beast, so... Talk about this one, Will. You put Lamar on here. I tend to agree with all quarterback hype in fantasy. Like, I'm a late round guy. Just give me some scrubs. I mean, that, you know, didn't exactly happen this year with the Matt Ryan, you know, controversial pick. But give me the Lamar take.
Well, I mean, it's just this yearly thing that we do with the new hotshot quarterback. I mean, Mahomes is drafted in the first rounds this year, or second round, depending on, you know, your league format and all that. I think Lamar proves, like, it's like the Michael Vick thing, right? When you have someone who can do both, you want them, and they're going to get you, especially rushing quarterbacks, they're going to get you guaranteed points, whether it's throwing the ball or running. He's been the MVP of fantasy and the NFL, and I think anyone who has him is probably in the playoffs. I like, you know, they do those stats, right? 86% of owners who had this guy are in the playoffs. I'm going to say over 90% of people who, I'm going to say 95% even, because of where you drafted him this season. But I think it's going to take a first or second round pick to get him. And does that hamper the rest of your team? Does that make, you know, your team kind of a little too heavy on the quarterback side and you can't get that running back or wide receiver that won't be in the later rounds? And does his production fall off once he plays that tough schedule that first place teams always end up playing? I mean, they're going to play who knows, the Patriots are going to be good next year, but they're going to play those first place teams. They're going to play different opponents, and there'll just be another year of tape, whether that's good or bad. And people might be able to kind of fixate and stop them. We saw what happened in the playoffs last year when they played a crappy team like the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers figured him out last year. Will the rest of the league be able to? So that's just kind of what I'm thinking about. Will he make it into that first round? And if he does, I mean, I know you're not taking him. You just talked about that. But will he kind of bust your team or kind of implode on you? And does he get hurt? I mean, everyone keeps thinking he's going to get hurt.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on every single front. I think, you know, to your point earlier, the league changes year over year. The new hotness. I mean, it's not – his style is – very athletically driven, which diminishes over time. And so it will be interesting. Obviously, I was a hater in the beginning of the year vis-a-vis his passing. So I think he'll have to lean on that more and more. And it'll be interesting where that kind of balances out, to your point, injury concerns, you know, the NFL changing year over year, and the draft capital you're going to have to invest. And that's pretty much the same story for these next two guys. It's a draft capital kind of conversation with Chris Carson and Chris Godwin. The Chris connection here, double them up here. I just think these, like Chris Godwin especially, like it hasn't been fluky. It's been pretty consistent. Your team's probably in the playoffs if you have him. You have a chance to win every week when he's on your roster. That team is just not in turmoil, but are they going to keep Jameis? Like, how does that offense look next year? I think Mike Evans is a more prototypical wide receiver one, and it's just been the volume and lack of running game that's really enabled Chris Godwin to be that outstanding play this year. I personally wouldn't draft him in the first round. Second round, it would get a little interesting. It's going to be interesting to see where Evans and him end up beginning of next year. And then Chris Carson, the guy has fumbling issues. He runs like a freight train. I mean, are those two things sustainable for his long-term value? He, to me, could be someone that you draft in the second round next year, up from, I think he was like a third or fourth round pick this year, which was great for him and his value. But we've seen Rashad Penny maybe get it together a little bit, get his head screwed on right. Is it more of a timeshare? Does it shift from kind of the 70-30 it was in the beginning of the year to, you know, a closer 60-40, 50-50? And those are things that at least we're going to get a lot more information down the stretch, which I think will color fantasy drafts next year. So Chris Carson has been good. He's been like very solid. I just feel like you drafted him as your running back two probably, and he's put up pretty much every week, and that'll push him up. I mean, that safety will push him up into those first rounds, and I think there's bust potential there.
Bring on next year, because we need next year to come, because we are not in the playoffs in this league coming up, and only one of us is in the next one. This is the Ship League, our playoff little smorgasbord here with no trolls and no hosts. But we know we got some friends and we got some fans in it. And we're here to do a deep dive. Well, not really a deep dive. There's only two matchups, which is nice because you can't spend all day on these playoffs over here. But we got Vlad versus Dingers, who put up 150 million points against me last week to keep me out of the playoffs. And Impeach Trump versus Tyresa. So we have different predictions on one of them. You see Vlad, and I see Vlad kind of going against Dingers. But Dingers' team is pretty good, man. I mean, damn it if he didn't score 8 touchdowns in like a 3-minute span with Cortland Sutton and Davante Adams. I mean, it was just a beatdown on me. Do you think he has a chance against Vlad?
Oh, definitely. I think Vlad's team is boomer bust, and Dingers' team also. I mean, they can both put up points. It's just a matter of who comes out this week. I give the slight nod to Muff's team. I just think the ceilings are a bit higher with Muff's team. But like you said, Dingers has been a surprise all year. Cortland Sutton has been a revolution for him. I mean, Tyler Lockett really hasn't done a whole lot recently. He's starting Tariq Cohen and nicked up Cooper. And then Leonard Fournette, who's just been actually not terrible, I guess. He's just been a volume play. Dalvin Cook, I think, is you know, could be a deciding factor in this game. And for Vlad, he also has New England going up against KC, so we can't use that good defense, which has probably won him some weeks. So I went with Vlad, but I think Dingers has a shot. I mean, he's got Justin Tucker on his team. Oh. At any moment.
5-point spread right now in favor of Vlad. I'm also going with Vlad, mainly just on potential, and that Dalvin Cook injury is huge, but he's very insistent that he's going to play this week. The one we disagree on, Impeach Trump versus Tyresa. Tyresa has Lamar Jackson, which is kind of like my thought process on this whole thing. And also his wide receivers are pretty solid. I don't know why he's starting Jameson Crowder. Maybe he'll fix that. Not entirely sure on that. But right now he's about a 10-point favorite on Impeach Trump. So Your thoughts, thought process on Trump winning this battle?
I think it, I mean, obviously there's, if you put it from a running back perspective, I'd give the nod to Tyreesa. I think it's just Lamar Jackson at Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo's defense on Thanksgiving looked pretty good, contained Dak pretty well. Obviously not the same. Lamar's playing at a whole nother level, I think, right now. It may come down to the Thielen. Like, if he moves Thielen in and he does, Thielen does what he did when he came back last time and just goes off after one play, off the field, that is. I think that could sink his playoffs. So I think he's trying to play it safe, bring in Crowder, just get some points. I mean,
well, I was thinking he put in Fuller. I was thinking start Fuller instead of Crowder. Fuller's been on an abso tear, unless he's too hurt to play.
He's just been limited in practice. So yeah. I think he's kind of feeling out how the rest of, you know, how the week shakes out and who's playing. I think it's a more even matchup. Like, there's strengths and weaknesses on each of these teams. I would say the strength for Impeach is his wide receivers. I would definitely give him the nod there. Tyreesa is the quarterback and the running backs. It's tighter than a 12-point difference, Will, but I see. I mean, you're a big Tyreesa guy, it looks like. So we'll have to see what happens this week when
With that, diving into that, is because you kind of did the whole – you went through the whole playoffs, so I followed suit. For the second week, next week, if the predictions hold true, you have Chongers and Coast in just the first two seeds winning their matchups anyway. But I have the opposite. I have the winners of this week moving on. I have Tyreesa and Vlad moving on. Now, I did have a caveat that I wrote, and I said it's a cop-out, but – I think if Adam Thielen comes back next weekend, I don't think he's playing this weekend. If he comes back next weekend and Tyreesa survives this first round, I think that Tyreesa's team becomes pretty much the top team. At least, you know, going up against someone like Chongers, like you think it, who you think is the best team in the league. Now, again, that's a cop out. So if Thielen doesn't come back next week, maybe I got an easy out on that. But I'm sticking to it. And I think Vlad, it would be a rematch between Vlad, and I think he'd be playing Kostin if I'm not mistaken on that. Let me just make sure I'm right about that.
Yes,
he would be. And they're 1-1 against each other, and Vlad has been talking the game. He's been talking the smack. He said, I've outscored you by 80 points in our two matchups. I just happened to be on the losing end on one of them. I think Vlad comes out and bangs Kostin in a big spot to get to the finals.
Wow. I mean, Kostin's team isn't... I mean, it's a solid team. There's a reason he's in first place, 11-2. But, I mean, Vlad's team, boom or bust. If it's that boom week against him, you can definitely beat Kostin. It's not that Kostin's team is unstoppable. I'm a big Chongers guy. I mean, those running backs are just too tasty. I think he does have newfound employment, though, I found out. Yeah, no. So he's back in the office. He's complaining about his lack of freedom, I guess, to Scotty. But hopefully that doesn't, you know, impact his ability to find free agents, make roster moves, do the research necessary to make a championship run. So you think Tyreesa, I think Chongers. I think it's going to be an interesting watch, even from the sidelines and watching a pretend game with just numbers on our phones. But rooting for Muff, hope he does well. You know, I picked him in the first round. I think he has a possibility to make a run.
And then, just to capitalize on that, you think Bongers will run the table, even with his employment role. You think he will kind of make it happen, even though, and you wrote this too, that weird trade, which made no sense at the time, and just, it was Mike Evans for LeSean McCoy. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I wanted to say it was a 2-for-2.
No, I think they made two separate trades. There was like a Drew Brees trade there and somewhere or something. I mean, I have to really dive deep into the transactions here, but yeah, I think that's what happened. There's two different trades, the same teams training with each other. He could have Mike Evans right now, which is...
Yeah.
Although it's really hard to find. I'm really trying to find this trader, and I keep scrolling. I'm scrolling. I'm buying time. I'm scrolling. I do think Tyreesa, again, the feeling thing, I think his team comes out on top. I think Lamar Jackson just becomes... It was a 2-for-2. You're right. It was Mike Evans and Drew Brees going away for Russell Wilson and Julian Edelman. So he got Russell Wilson in that one back.
Yeah.
I swear yeah, that I mean, was
his team is nasty.
That was after week one, by the way. Wow, what a trade to make.
Even his bench is just
Melvin great. Gordon's on his bench. And it was LeSean McCoy for Matt Breida, by the way. That was the trade.
Ooh, the Breeds.
So that's the ship. I mean, obviously, we'll recap that each and every week as we go. Big weekend this weekend. Can't wait to see what happens there. But let's move on to the next league, Jeffrey. We got the Raft Pool playoff preview, similar to what you just did and started off for us. Just a couple matchups that start and then kind of picking a final prediction. But, Jeff, I do have to say we may have a special guest who also wanted to preview this for us. He's a big fan of the show, you know. Loyal listener. He dethroned. He was very proud of this, by the way. I do have to. He would not stop letting me know that June Hannah does not go unscathed, he wrote. He said, I will make sure that he goes into the playoffs on a losing streak or, you know, with a loss. That, of course, is Scott Sarantino. Great friend of the pod. Now, unfortunately, he is busy. Couldn't make the pod. But I do have a, let me put on the reading glasses here. I do have a written statement from one Scott Sarantino, if you may just let me have the floor here. And I'm going into this blind, by the way. I have not researched this one second. He emailed it to me, and I'm going into this blind. All right?
Okay. Here we go. Let's hear it.
Thank you, Will, for that resounding and flattering intro. I am not sure I deserve all of that love, but I will humbly take it. Wow. All right. Jeff, good to hear from you, because I couldn't see you all the way down there in 10th place. Oh, wow. Okay. But enough of the banter. Let's get to what people come to the pod to listen to. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. The red-headed stepchild to the ship, Raft Pool. We have a couple interesting matchups this week in the quarterfinals. We have Greg, arguably one of the worst managers to ever step foot in the ship, and self-proclaimed favorite guest of the pod, going up against a man that rides the Broncos so hard that he probably has chafing in the nether regions. Jose, a.k.a. Orange Rush. And he inserts this too, but let me insert my own here. I just saw this as well. I did not know this when I was previewing the teams, and Scotty has talked about it perfectly. This can be proven by the fact that he is starting Drew Lock. I did not know this as well until I looked and I wrote in my preview. A guy who didn't know what the penalty for PI was in the NFL. Oh, I didn't know that was true. Over his workhorse that he has suffered with the entire season, Jameis Winston. To give him credit, though, he is sticking with the one QB tactic, and that did secure him fourth place, and the most points scored in the regular season. Isn't that, that's amazing. On the flip side, we have Greg, who is still cashing in with Lamar Jackson. I believe this matchup will come down to Lamar Jackson, and if he can have a good showing. There really isn't any wiggle room for Greg, because Jose has better positional players. Well, we're getting really deep here. In my opinion, save for Keenan Allen, and I think CMC is going to put up at least 30 points against Atlanta. Can Lamar pick up the slack? This will be the narrative for this matchup. Okay, so he's done with that, but he didn't even pick a winner. He's on the next matchup.
It looks like he's leaning Orange Rush.
I have no recollection of what I just read. All right, so he's on to the next matchup. So you think he's leaning Orange Rush, who's going to be chafing.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. The other matchup, it's a 3 seed who wouldn't even have made the playoffs if he were going purely based on points scored this season against probably the most dangerous 6 seed in all of Yahoo Fantasy. That's right, Kyle, the 2003 English classic starring Keira Knightley really made an impression on me, so I haven't changed my name in years, Murphy. Versus Will, let me get that butthole soisted in. All right, wow, all right. I don't think the firepower is there for Kyle to take down Will this week. I don't put a lot of faith in Sam Haley, Joel Osment, I See Dead People Darnold, who barely managed 10 points against the Bungholes. He does have Watson and Hopkins, who could easily make up points on a good day, but Will has the powerhouse that is Patrick Mahomes and the absolute slithery snake Josh Allen, who is basically a poor man's Lamar Jackson because he has over 400 yards rushing and 8 rushing touchdowns. The only worry spot for me in this matchup for Will is Cooper Kupp going up against Seattle and if Dalvin Cook is going to be at 100% against Detroit. Other than that, I think Will has this in the bag, wrapped up, and that's all I have to say about that. Don't at me. Thank you for having me on. I wish it could be under different circumstances, but I take my 8th place in stride and take solace in the fact that I finished above Jeff. Enjoying the tree lighting, you absolute pond scum. Will love you and hopefully see you soon. Perps out. All right, there you go. Thank you, Scott.
I mean, what more do we need to do? That was just a soliloquy for the ages. Well, deep analysis, statistics. I mean, maybe we don't bring him on the pod. Maybe he just writes a copy for us, Will, and he can just work on the rundown.
Exactly. Have him do that. We'll just show up and cash the checks. So, yeah, he picked me. And like you said, I think he picked Jose in that matchup. Your pick – go ahead. I've been talking for a little bit. Give me your small little rundown and what you think this happens in the ref pool league.
No, I think I just like Greg's team has potential in a PPR. Keenan Allen going up against a woe is me in Jacksonville. I mean, they don't have anything to play for. Maybe Saquon on Monday night playing a divisional opponent in the Eagles. We got Carson Wentz. They're still in the hunt. I don't know how Allen Robinson is projected for 16 points, but I do agree. Any team with Amari Cooper and Christian McCaffrey and Austin Eckler in a PPR has week to week just explosion potential. Travis Kelce to top it off. Drew Lock though. I mean, I can't in good faith pick a team with Drew Lock starting at quarterback to get the W. At Houston, that's definitely going to be different than at home against the Chargers going to charge. So I'm going Lamar Jackson. Get that W, Greg, ride into the semifinals.
Yeah, so I wrote that
orange. And I think you, easy. Oh, so, I mean, I don't. I mean, Kyle's team is Kyle's team. So.
Orange Rush, I wrote that he's been a thorn in my side the last 2 years. I literally haven't beaten him still in this Rap Pool League. So I can see him start just somehow getting on a run with his one QB strategy. And then I did say I just noticed he's starting Drew Lock. So that kind of hampers expectations, but will Greg make a boneheaded decision? That's the big question this weekend. I did lose to Beckham, Kyle, earlier this year, 140 to 127. And my team also lost 3 of the last 4 to finish the season backing into the playoffs. Will they use this as to their advantage and kind of just say, no, we are who we were in the beginning of the year, or will it carry over to the playoffs? I'm kind of scared. I am projected, of course, to win by 13, 15 points, which story of my season. But I do think I hang on, and it's gonna come down to the quarterbacks. I think will Josh Allen get kind of stuffed by that Ravens defense? That's a big game this week, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next round.
We want to keep going, Will. We want to keep going.
This is it. We got last 2 picks. But you started off, baby.
In my world, the 2 matchups are Greg and Jason. I mean, I think Jason, this is the, you know, semifinals is when Greg will make a boneheaded move. The pressure and the excitement will be too much for him. Junjun and Hannah will get out there. I think he's going to take down Greg. I mean, there's not a whole lot to the analysis there. The second matchup is a little bit more intriguing. 2 of the best names in the league, third string butthole yourself, in honor of Captain Andrew A. Luck. I think Sam has a really balanced squad. He's got that New England defense. He has the bye this week with the New England defense, so he'll get a better matchup next week to plug them in. I think he's got talent top to bottom. I think obviously you can beat any team on any given week. The 3 of the 4 losses says that you can also lose to any given right. team. But I'm leaning Captain Andrew Luck. I like his team. He's got kind of a stable of good running backs. He's got Dak. He's got, you know, Davante Adams is coming on a little bit, and just I feel like a lot of teams in the hunt still that are going to have to keep playing. So I think they're going to have to keep performing at a high level, which is another driver in that Julian Edelman, other than Leonard Fournette, and they'll just hand it off to him 100 times with Minshew Mania starting up again. Mm-hmm. And Chris Carson, I mean, the Seahawks are going to be battling for positioning until week 17. So I'm leaning Luck here, Will.
So I was looking for the next weekend, or, you know, whatever, the next round of the playoffs, I was looking at the matchups and who they're playing deep, or who the teams are playing, and Captain Lux, his players that he's playing, you know, their defenses, it's just great matchups. He's got a lot of good ones that just, whether they're playing the Jets or the Lions, some sort of poor defenses that he gets. So whoever he's playing, whether it's me or Kyle, I think no matter what, we're going to kind of be the underdog there. So I think I'm going to pick Sam Hahn in that one, whoever it is he's playing against. And, you know, I love me some teams with Jason. And I did say that, you know, we talked about this all year. How is a team with one QB going to win this year? And so far we have two in the playoffs. And Jason has just one quarterback starting and only lost two games this season. I think he will win his matchup, just like you said, against Greg. And then when it comes to the actual finals, I think we might have. Have we had a double champion? I'm not sure if we have.
I don't think we ever have, no.
Yeah, we've had close. We've had, you know, close calls, and this will be the maybe this will be the closest one, if my predictions hold true. But I think I have a Jason win in two
games.
I mean, utter dominance.
I mean, maybe we can get Fab then. We'll be in a good mood.
To twist this around, let's say he wins Wrathpool, but doesn't win the ship. Guess which league has Fab?
Exactly. There we go. I like that. So maybe I do, but he has Derrick Henry. I can't. I'm contractually obligated to vote against
him. I think we root for him to win Wrathpool, even if I'll take that bullet. I will take that bullet.
All right. Fair play. Fair play.
The Fab in the ship. Jeff, the girthy pod is done. The light hanging, the Christmas movies, the Irishman is still playing in the background. No, it isn't, but that's just funny because it could be. What a pod, Jeff.
That was good.
We will do our best to make it happen again shortly. Next week is a doozy for me, I'm telling you right now. We're looking at a 60-hour work week, but I will do my best to keep you posted on what mornings are free for me, or if I'm going to have to do night pod, but we will make it happen, the pre-Christmas special. Thank you, Jeff. Get some conference rooms, dude.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Peace out.